Hey guys, this episode of Nintendo Dads is brought to you by Patreon.com. If you'd like to help support us create amazing content, go over to Patreon.com/NintendoDads. And for as little as a dollar a month, you could help us make, again, amazing content. And if you don't want to, that's okay too. We'll keep doing what we do and you keep doing what you do. Either which way, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate your support. Welcome to Nintendo Dads episode 65. On tonight's episode, we discuss the My Nintendo account, Miitomo registration, and by the way, the potential return of Nintendo Select and some very early reviews for Fire Emblem Fates. Zach, before I lose my voice, cue the music.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is February 17th, 2016. Joining me tonight with his raspy, husky, beautiful voice is Justin Masson. What's going on tonight, Justin?
I like just keeping it real for you right now, Zach.
Wow.
That's how I roll.
I'm forgetting the name. He always plays a cowboy. He was in that crappy Ghost Rider movie. Cowboy mustache man. What's his name?
I don't know, but I know exactly what you're talking about. That's scary. Yeah, I am sporting both a raspy voice and a horrible, horrible beard. I believe someone called it a nerfy, scruffy nerf herder look.
Yeah.
It's almost comparable to Jesse, but Jesse, you got the full meal deal there. So yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of nasty beards, right? Jesse Wald from VDistribute.com. What's going on?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Wow, look at that.
Beautiful. Well,
I don't exercise my lower register as much as I should.
Nice.
How often do you say in your day, you're like, you know what I should be doing right now is really exercising that lower register?
I say it daily.
You know what is
daily?
I really don't, but it sounds fun.
The name of the actor was Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Yeah, that is the man from... I don't know why Ghost Rider is the first thing I went to, but, you know, that's how it is.
He's got probably a robust background actor, you know...
You know, I could have cited...
actor career, but you choose Ghost Rider.
Yeah, and I could have cited, you know, Tombstone or something awesome like
Wyatt
that.
Earp, something he was probably in.
Probably. Anyways, before I slaughter anyone else's career, let's head into the news, shall we?
Do it.
My mouth there. Yeah, we're good. Okay. Oh, the next bumper almost played. I can't even do it. Justin, this is your last week back for a while, dude.
Yes, it is.
That's a sad day.
I tuned into last week and you guys are a mess. You guys are a mess without me.
I don't know, dude.
That's why we named the episode the way we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Although I do admit though, I thought the call-in episode was fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty
cool. That was really well done.
And that's going to be a monthly occurrence, by the way. Like, we're going to have a special episode starting in March that's just that. It's going to be awesome. So,
and why is it a monthly episode?
What? Say that again? You are crunchy.
Why is it a monthly episode?
It is a monthly episode because people support us on Patreon.
Patreon.com. Do we do that?
Yeah, you know what? They can actually go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads and support us.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Justin, you are crunchy as crap, dude. Here, should we restart this for 1 second? Let's just restart the call.
Sure.
And we're back.
Do you want me to bring it back?
Yeah, oh, I got it recorded. I can always give you the clip later.
No, we're good. All right, we're back. And
it's on YouTube.
Yeah. If you want to see what you missed, go to YouTube. YouTube.com/C/NintendoDads, everyone. Justin, I think you're... Are you sounding better? We didn't even check before I hit start again.
I hope so.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Wow.
We're going to move on anyways, and hopefully Justin's connection is better. Are you okay, Justin? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, gosh, dude. That is unacceptable behavior. Hang on. Pause. Okay, that is sufficiently good now. Okay, so let's get into the news before... his internet takes a huge dump. Justin, so yesterday, last night, it was, when was this? Like, about like
yesterday.
9 o'clock last night?
Or yeah.
Maybe a little earlier than that. The registration for Nintendo account went live.
Yeah, that was kind of a shock.
Yeah, kind of crazy. I thought it was all going to go up at once. It was kind of smart that they did it the night before, though, because then it's not as swamped when they do the pre-registration, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, have a different points of failure at different times, I guess. So that was good. Did you guys set up your accounts?
Of course.
I did. It was really easy.
Yeah.
Like, almost too easy.
Yeah.
You know, for a fact of, and I don't know about you guys, I used my Nintendo Network ID.
Yep.
Information again. All the data was there. It sends me a confirmation, basically says, like, yo, put this number in there to verify. We're here.
Yeah. Oh boy. Justin.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I started with my Nintendo Network ID, and then at that point, I added a password. So then I can subsequently log in without having to go through the Nintendo Network ID stuff all over again.
Oh, that's right.
And then I did also pair it up with my Google account, Skype, and Facebook. So I'm linked four ways.
I actually am looking at this, and it says that I am not verified yet. So that's weird. I should do that. Yeah, but it was surprisingly easy. It was weird. It was weird that it was so easy, but at the same time, it was an account, and it was like, congratulations, do you have an account now? And I was like, oh, I can't do anything with it.
I want to at least see my zero balance. It doesn't even show that yet.
Yeah. Like, it literally shows nothing. The only thing it shows is your account information.
Here's your name, your country, your birth date.
Did you connect like your Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff to it? All your linked accounts? Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, all linked as well on mine. So, yeah. So, and then they didn't really give us much information. I saw an article today, though, on my Nintendo News that said if you try and delete your account, it does give us a couple of hints, which I figure we might as well talk about them because there's not much else to talk about with this. This is a message that you get if you try and delete your Nintendo account. It says deletion of your Nintendo account will result in loss of all data associated, which may include, this is interesting, mission status, points, and rewards in the My Nintendo Rewards program. So mission status is something that I'm not, they haven't really talked about that. That's new. Right? What do you think?
I think they hinted on that once, and I kind of assumed that was kind of like achievements, but it's more like real life achievements versus in game achievements.
Oh, so like for example, it's like a quest, but a quest is visit the eShop or
right.
Download Miitomo. Oh, I can see that being it.
Well, it'd be interesting if they flesh that out more deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be interesting. And I think that we'll find out. We will find that out in about a month's time when it goes live in Japan, right?
I presume it'll go live worldwide as soon as Miitomo launches, isn't it?
Well, they said that Miitomo is launching in Japan first by mid-March and by the end of March worldwide. So that we may find out before it actually arrives here. Also, it says digital content that you purchased or acquired that is linked to your Nintendo account, including in-app content and coins may be lost. Save/user data of apps linked to your Nintendo account. Special offers such as discounts. Yada, 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 yada. But I just thought it was interesting that there was, you know, there's that. So, are you still there, Justin? Did we lose you?
No, I'm still here. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Dude, I don't know what's going on with your internet, but it's exciting.
Brian Welch says, the quest is to find the Wario amiibo in a store.
The Warriors... amiibo? Oh, yeah. Good luck, dude.
He meant the Wario amiibo.
Amiibo. Okay.
He corrected himself.
Okay, cool. And then, of course, today we had pre-registration for Miitomo, which, again, pretty straightforward, right? Surprisingly, no problems here.
You click a button, you log in again, and boom, you're done.
Yeah, and you do get some platinum points for pre-registering, so that's good. Which I'm assuming means those are the points that we use to buy themes and stuff like that, right? Like, we're not actually getting games for platinum points.
I don't think we know yet.
Yeah. So, so that was at least if the briefing was there. But There was some interesting information here, like just kind of going through Miitomo. You know, step one, make a Mii, which is cool. Step two, use a Mii, you know, and then it basically asks questions. Like we've talked about before, it's cool. It shows a picture of the shop, which is cool. Like you can spend coins to buy outfits, which we kind of knew about already. And then this picture, what do you guys think about this picture function? Like this seems interesting. There was even one that had what seemed like an animation thing on it. Like, are we going to be able to make GIFs of Mii's here? Like, there's this fireball one.
I thought that was actually really a cool feature that they hadn't talked about before. And I thought that was definitely something that the social element, not so interested in it. But I thought, like, hey, I can take a picture of, you know, here's my kids playing in the park and there's my Miitomo character playing with them, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of fun Photoshop creativity spots that's going to add some value to mm-hmm. before, but I think that's very cool.
Yeah, for sure. I suspect that I'm going to be getting a lot of use out of that for sure. And hopefully there is a way, like it looks like you can use more than one Mii at a time. Hopefully you can kind of save multiple Mii's, you know, so I can save my son's Mii in there so that we can take pictures with his, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. But I think for the most part, and looking at how much money is in this account versus how much money, like coins, and then how much these suits are going for, these costumes, it looks like I don't know how much it's going to, you can earn them by playing the game or you can pay real money to buy coins and buy stuff too.
Does it show how many coins these things are worth?
So in the show notes, I have a link to an article that has a couple more on there. But it looks like in the balance is like 92,000 and then they're like 3,000 each. I don't know what this balance is, though. That balance could be ridiculous.
All right, because I thought I read somewhere, maybe I'm just imagining things, that the bonus we get for pre-registering is for 1,000. So if something is worth 3,000, then 1,000 is not unreasonable.
Yeah. I don't know what where are you seeing this, that 1,000?
I don't remember where I saw it. I could have been completely imagining it. Mm. I think I saw it in reading something yesterday, last mm-hmm. night, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Justin, are you going to be getting this as soon as it launches? Like, how are you feeling about Miitomo now that it's getting close?
Yeah, I'm going to definitely get it and go hands-on with it. I think we have to. I think it's going to be fun to play with. You know, it'll probably be something that'll hold my attention for, you know, a week or two. Not like an active game or anything, but just trying it out and playing with it. Again, I think this photo feature will be a lot of fun with it as well. I am interested. Their statement of like free to start, I thought was interesting. But I think we have seen some early pictures of, you know, you want a different costume, that'll cost you, you know, 100 Miitomo coins.
I think that's just there.
That's our new favorite catchphrase there, free to start.
Well, and I don't think they're going to lock the messaging functionality and the social functionality behind a paywall. It is more of those,
the
costumes and stuff like that. Yeah. Maybe some of the images or poses or things like that you can use for Mii Photo, potentially. I don't know. I'm excited for it. I feel like this is a better social thing than Miiverse is. As far as my desire to use it, I feel like, again, because of what's going on, like what the question on here is, like, what did you do last weekend? I don't know. Maybe I'm just a troll, but I feel like that you could have it doesn't have to be true. You could just say something ridiculous and it would be fun to do. And maybe try to one up each other, trying to be ridiculous with different things. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, but we'll see.
I answered silly questions on Miitomo.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Inception.
Yeah. So that is that. There was a, oh, I have this open, so I might as well just mention it. There was an awesome nostalgic trailer for Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow on the UK, the Nintendo EU YouTube account. It was exciting. Got me jazzed about that. This, Nintendo Selects. Now, Justin, you were saying before the show you hadn't heard about Nintendo Selects before, right? Is that...
No, I mean, I knew that they had done their, like, you know, best of reels, but I just forgot they were called Nintendo Selects.
Yeah, so...
It sounds like a really bad, like, chicken nugget you get somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. And so basically, the Canadian video game retailer Video Game Plus. Have you ever heard of that before, Justin?
Never.
Video Game Plus? Me neither.
Like, I feel like it's a mom-pod distributor.
Yeah, so Video Game Plus is some random mom-pop store in Canada, but they leaked new Nintendo Selects titles, which will be coming to North America March 11th. And here's the list. So for Nintendo, and these are $30 Canadian, which means they're going to be like $20 U.S., would be my guess. That's usually the price that they've gone in the past.
I'll do a quick inverter and see how that one.
Yeah, it should be around $20. So basically, Nintendo 3DS. You've got Donkey Kong Returns, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, Mario Party Island Tour, Yoshi's New Island, and Ocarina of Time 3D. You have Wii games, which I'm pretty sure they already have Nintendo Selects for Wii games. So some of these may not actually be, or they may be reprinting.
I think some of these are new.
Yeah, so like Donkey Kong Country Returns, yeah. Super Mario All-Stars, Super Mario Galaxy 2, and Animal Crossing City Folk. Which, why would you get City Folk right now if you could get New Leaf instead? But anyway.
You can't... There's no network functionality anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Wi-Fi connected been down for almost 2 years.
Is this going to be fake?
Oh. So you're quarter of the game is gone.
Yeah. And then for Wii U, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, Super Mario 3D World, NES Remix, and Pikmin 3. So that's interesting. What, Jesse, you were saying before the show you had some opinions.
Yes, both positive and negative. The positive, I'm happy to see the Ocarina of Time 3D up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, when it first launched, it was when the 3DS was struggling. This is, I think, all even... ambassador program. So that game ended up become a rarity status.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually a while ago I went to Vintage Dock and actually saw a used copy available for $75, mm-hmm. even though I could still buy it on eShop for $40. So I'm happy to see that one getting a re-release. The one I'm not so happy about. Is Super Mario All-Stars.
Yeah, what the heck, man? That is like
That was a $30 game new initially when it launched on the Wii. Although it did come with an art book. I don't know if that art book still is a thing or not.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that should have just been an $8 virtual console title. Because
mm-hmm.
it was a Super Nintendo ROM on a disc is literally all that was.
Mm-hmm.
And still is, apparently.
Yeah, that's weird. That is like a virtual console collection, right? Like, is it cheaper to just... Well, I guess it probably wouldn't be. That is really bizarre. I don't understand it. It's interesting. I don't know what the... looking at this list, Justin, is there anything that you are super excited about?
Pikmin's on that list, right? Pikmin 3?
Yeah.
That's what I'd be excited about, because I have not picked that up before.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be on my list. I think especially when we've talked about, I've talked about wanting to play that a little bit with my kids. Mm-hmm. So I think that'd be probably a good one to, just because of the colors and the cuteness of it.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about replaying that one.
Pikmin 3 is pretty awesome.
That's the one that's kind of definitely on my list.
Looking at this as well, I'm looking at Yoshi's New Island. I know it wasn't great, but I'm thinking more for my son. He got another 2DS for Christmas to replace his old one that he lost. Still, I don't know how that happens. How does that happen? But
my son has lost his 3DS as well.
I don't understand. I don't like. Please understand. I don't understand.
It's really hard to buy more games for him, especially digital games, when he doesn't have a console to play it on.
Yeah. So like my son loved Woolly World, and my understanding is that Yoshi's New Island is a little bit aimed more towards younger kids. So I might actually, if that does end up coming here, I might. He was really sad, actually. He was, to this day, anytime that he sees the Kirby, the new Kirby, what is it, 3D, what is it, Triple Deluxe? He's still sad that he lost that game. So, oh, hi. There's a Bing there.
Was that cart in the...
The cart was in there when we lost it. So, so that game, he's still... Like, even though we replaced the game, the system, we haven't replaced that game for him. So, let it be a reminder, boy. I don't know. So... but yeah, Yoshi's New Island for 3DS seems like it'll be a good deal there. So, it's a slow news week, guys. It seems like. What else is going on? Oh, the last thing here. Is there anything that I'm missing before we move on, guys? No. Okay.
No.
All right. So finally, this time tomorrow, I will be 15 minutes away from playing Fire Emblem Fates, which is super exciting. And today the reviews went up. I, of course, have downloaded the Birthright edition, and reviews went up today. And, man, I think that the reviews for this may be better than they were for Awakening. Really, really strong reviews coming in. For this game, which is not a surprise. I mean, considering Awakening got such great reviews, it's not a surprise that they're so good. But I'm just really impressed so far. So, Justin, did you take a look at those reviews?
I've started to look at them, and I'd seen IGN's this week's episode of Voice Chat. They did basically half the show was on Fire Emblem. And by the end of it, I was pretty much wanting to chomp at the bit to pick it up. And then I've seen these reviews come in, and it kind of makes me want to get closer and closer to that edge. So what I did is, and I know that Zach, you've been kind of encouraging me to pick it up as well. Mm-hmm. I had some funds set aside for the show to review Mega Man Legacy. So what I did is I set up a Twitter poll for our fans to say either to tell me which game they want me to review, whether it's going to be Fire Emblem Fates or Mega Man Legacy. The Twitter poll is currently open and seeing how people are doing on that.
I think you did not make it clear when you did it that I will still be reviewing it regardless.
Oh yeah, like you're still going to be reviewing
it. Yeah, I'll still review
it. Zach's
for sure.
Going to, but like for me, that wasn't one of the ones that I had on my docket.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I just think that it looks so good. I'm so excited. My body is ready.
Your body is ready.
Here's an issue that I have, though. I saw this today. Sorry, Jesse, were you going to say something real quick before I go on this rant?
Yeah. Brian's got a quick question from the chat. He has never played a Fire Emblem game. Should he start with Awakening or just go straight into Birthright or Conquest?
I would suggest...
Just off the top of my head, don't start with Conquest.
I would say if you're going to do it, I would suggest just going straight into Birthright. Given what the reviews are saying, they've made some really good improvements with Fire Emblem Fates. They've added the My Castle feature, which includes amiibo functionality, if that makes a difference to you. They have kind of made some changes to the battle system that have tightened it up. And
Phoenix mode.
They've got Phoenix mode, which is baby mode times 10, you know, like whatever. But it seems like they've polished the Awakening formula. The story is apparently much better. And if you end up really loving it to the point where you're like, man, I would love to play another one, it will only cost you $20 to then play the other half or Revelations when that comes out. So I think at this point, going to Fire Emblem Awakening, unless you can find it on a deal somewhere, I think going with Fates. But the thing is, too, is that Fire Emblem Awakening is still a really great game. So, yeah. I don't know.
I'm really excited to see what your impressions are of it, Zach. And I'm kind of anticipating... I'm really looking forward to hearing next week's episode to hear what your thoughts are on it. Mm-hmm. Because it sounds really good. I know you're such a big fan of it. I know you've been looking forward to it for a while. I don't know. My thoughts are like, I've got this plane ride. I've got a 6-hour layover in Heathrow. Mm-hmm. And this would probably be something that I could sink in 15 hours in and kind of wash away this flight and just forget about it. And,
yeah, you know, dude.
Just be consumed by a really sweet game. So,
yeah.
And I really liked Awakening's demo when I played it. And I thought it was too short, actually. So there's a lot of things here that feels like
feels like it's calling me. Do you know what I'm saying, Zach? Feels like it's just it's just got me.
I think I don't think that you will regret it. It's just, are you like, is now the right time? It sounds like it is.
So, yeah.
Sounds like all the pieces have lined up and are ready for you to enjoy this.
So, well, we're going to see what the fans say. We're going to see what the fans fully say.
Yeah. Because, I mean, in reality, what is there about this Mega Man collection that is new?
The Amiibo challenges.
Okay.
That when you tap the Amiibo, it does something cool with it.
Do you have any Fire Emblem Amiibo? Stuff.
I have Ike.
You have Ike? Okay.
I have Ike that I've only used for code name Steam.
Yeah. So pack that Ike if you decide to get that. Pack him in your bag with you because there is some functionality. The reviews don't really talk about it, but you basically, like, there are some things from what I've seen where you can invite the character to your castle and you'll interact with them and you'll be able to buy exclusive items from them. And after several days, then there are challenges where you have to beat them before they will join your team. And it seems like it's a pretty difficult challenge to get them in too. Like, it's not an easy level to beat them. So, so pack that if you decide to get it. So I have one quick thing, and this is maybe just a little thing. I'm looking on their website now, GameSpot. Now, like, different websites are dealing with this differently, and I'm interested what your guys' thoughts are on this. GameSpot has chosen to review all three versions of the game already. And, like, IGN reviewed both of them. They had two different people review them. And I think Game Explain only reviewed Conquest so far. But GameSpot reviewed each of them, and they have a system out of 10. But they don't do like 8.5 or anything. It's just straight whole numbers. So 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, right? They rated Birthright at an 8.
So now Birthright's the first one, right?
Birthright is the light version, right?
Okay.
They reviewed Conquest at a 7, and they reviewed Revelation at a 9.
Wow. So what?
So, I think if you're going to... I don't know. It's just super weird to me that there would be like a 7 for Conquest, which I don't think I've seen anybody rate a 7. Like, it seems like what they're trying to do is they're trying to say they, in order of like best to worst, it's Revelation, Birthright, Conquest, right? But is that actually like, does that warrant giving Conquest a 7?
That seems a bit weird.
That seems craziness to me. So, I don't know. That was just super dumb.
I just looked at Metacritic, and they have 3 entries for Fire Emblem. You know, 1 for Conquest, 1 for Birthright, and 1 for the Special Edition, which is basically all 3 games on one cart.
Mm-hmm.
And Conquest actually has the highest score.
It does, yeah.
It's got 89 versus 88 and 88, which is still great. It's great scores.
Yeah. I think what's interesting, I think the main complaint, I watched their, basically what they did is they had a video for Birthright, the full review for Birthright, and then Conquest and Revelation just had 1 minute videos. Their complaint with Conquest was because you can't replay missions, like it constantly is moving you forward with each mission, and you can't go back and replay old missions to grind for experience. They complained that it was that you were losing out on potential gameplay, like that you can't take your time with it, and therefore you're not getting as much bang for your buck, so to speak. So I'm not sure. I don't know. It's weird. But 7 out of 10 when it's clearly not a 7 out of 10. Like, I haven't played it yet, but there is no way that game is a 7 out of 10. Yeah, that is an outrage.
That GameSpot review is the only one in the mixed range.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is in the good range, range.
That's just a crappy review, frankly. But, like, yeah, anyway. I don't know. That just got in my craw, and I had to talk about it. yeah. So, any other thoughts before we go into what we're playing, gentlemen? Nope.
Do it.
Thank you. So, Justin, you were gone last week. What have you been playing? Hey, Justin, how have you? What have you been playing, man?
What have I been playing?
What have you been doing?
You know what I have been playing? I didn't play a lot, actually, last week. Last week was not a great week, despite traveling for playing games. I did play some more Paper Jam, which I'm still liking. I'm still grinding through it. I'm about 11 or 12 hours into it now. Yeah, you know, it still grabs me, but it's a game where it's kind of, I think I've said it before, where I like just play small sprints of it. Mm-hmm. Like I'll play for 35 to 40 minutes and then be like, yeah, all right, I'm done for a bit. Thanks very much. So I thought that's been going well. And then I played on the flight home some Gunstriker,
Azure Striker Gun Vault.
Yeah, I'm always horrible with that name. Played that on the flight home. Very Mega Man-esque.
Yeah.
So maybe that kind of satisfied a little bit of my Mega Man desire as well.
Mm.
I was like, yeah, it's, you know, because it feels like it's very, you know, in that world. And
Mega Man desire. That's,
that might be the title episode right there.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, I think I mentioned before, it's not a bad game. There's some mechanical things that are a little bit weird with it. But it's very much inspired by Mega Man. I mentioned to you guys last time that like it doesn't save after you finish each level, which is really weird. You have to like, after every boss, you have to deliberately like take the time to step out of the game and hit save, mm-hmm. or else you lose your progress completely, which I didn't fully realize until my DS died and I lost like half of the game.
Oh.
I was like, you are the worst. So now I'm going to go back and do it. And it actually almost broke me enough to say like, I'm not going to go back and play. Like, no, I've done this once. Like you fool me. No, we're not doing this again. So, yeah, those are the games I've been playing, but, you know, definitely looking forward to the trip that I've got coming up here soon. And, you know, my DS is fully charged and ready and we'll see what happens.
Nice. Right on, dude. Jesse, how about you? What have you been playing?
Yeah. I played the newest, I forgot what they call them. The Super Mario Maker levels.
Okay.
Where when you beat them, you get amiibo costumes.
Okay.
I don't know why that word is gone from my brain right now.
The event courses. There we go.
Yes. It was one event course that was Pokemon themed. And it was kind of actually pretty clever. It like starts you off, like you go into a house and then you have to pick one of three Pokeballs. And then depending on which one you pick, you'll get either the Charmander, the Bulbasaur, or the Squirtle costume.
Mm-hmm.
And then all three of them, when you push up to do the strike the up pose and to make the noise, whatever mm-hmm. noise it's going to make, it makes its cry from the Gen 1 games.
Yeah, well, which is interesting because they actually, that the Pokemon didn't actually do any Pokemon sounds with any of the amiibo, right? So so that's, it's interesting that they did.
I don't know. I don't think I own any of them. I have Mewtwo.
Yeah, they don't. They all give the basic sort of, the basic Mario noises. Like the same as like a regular.
So I thought it was cute that they actually did the cries.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome.
And then you continue on to the level, so you picked one of them, and depending on which one you pick, it sends you to a subset of a different of the sub level.
Yeah.
It's either a fire based one if it's Charmander, an ice based one if it's Squirtle, or vines and Piranha Plants if it's Bulbasaur.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get through those, and then you go to back to the shared area, you know, climbing through a bunch of Pokeballs until you get to the end where you finish the level. But you only get the one costume for beating the level, depending on which one you picked.
Right.
So if you want all three, you got to play that level three times and beat it three times.
Yeah. Yeah, I played those too. I don't know if I just suck at that game, but it took me a while. It took me a few tries to get it.
Yeah, it did.
It's fun though. Like I liked it. It was pretty cool. So, Otherwise, I think it was fun. I played those two, and it's fun. My son really enjoyed seeing those because he's. We also looked at the so that for the Pokemon 20th anniversary, they have those. They also in Splatoon, which we forgot to mention this, but Splatoon also is celebrating the Pokemon 20th by having a Splatfest this month. Pokemon Red versus Pokemon Blue, which is, I think, genius. I think that since the Autobots versus Decepticons, this is this probably is better than that one. I would actually buy a shirt that is like this one. It was pretty great. So
I think they actually have those shirts being printed in Japan.
Are you serious? I would totally buy it.
I saw one. It's pretty amazing.
I want that.
And so, David says Pokemon Blue Team Blue.
Yeah, I was gonna do Pokemon Blue, but my son gets to decide, and if I don't choose the one that he wants, like if he doesn't get to pick, then there's trouble, which is fine. So
is he leaning red, or don't you know yet?
He's team red. He's because Charizard, man. Charizard has got the marketing push, and I can't compete with that. You know, like he's got the Charizard amiibo. He loves Charizard. And so it doesn't matter that Pokemon Blue was what I got in the nostalgia and all that. So I'm seeing a lot of Team Blue in the chat. That yeah, that doesn't bode well.
Though I would all if I cared to log in and make my vote, I would also pick Red.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I almost always pick Firestarter, even
Firestarter as in the song from by Prodigy. Is that
no?
Nice.
That is not what I said.
Okay. Nice. Cool. So that is basically. So, yeah, Mario Maker continues to have those. How much longer do you think they're going to do those? It seems like they add they go until they fill that row, and then they patch the game, and there's another row of icons.
I know. So I think so far we have four. Four icons already filled in this new row, so we still have six to go.
Did I miss one? Like, I think they're like the first one.
EGAD.
Oh, see, I haven't done that one yet. Yeah. So that is Mario Maker Splatoon. Sorry. Did you have anything else you'd played this week?
Minorly, I have a few things I wanted to mention. Excuse me. Wow. Excuse me. That came out of nowhere. I was digging through my closet of stuff I haven't dug through in a while, and I actually found my collection of old PS2 games.
Oh, wow.
So I decided to take a few of them out and give them a spin again. And one of them, like, you know, I mentioned before, I like to play poker. And so there was this one poker game that I thought I liked back in the day called Stacked. It's David DeGrano featured. He's heavily featured in the game. You know, if you're following professional poker players, then he's one of the funny ones. He's fun ones to watch. You know, so this is one of the first poker games that actually used 3D models. You know, even the World Series of Poker games kind of did only stuck with a 2D field. You know, just overhead table with generic avatars for the players.
Okay.
So this one, you know, it had a 3D feel, make it in with pretty accurate renderings of certain casino rooms. And but the problem is it was very muddy brown orange. I'm like, I don't math. I'm playing this on one TV, watching my son play the Nuketown map on Call of Duty, and I'm like, it's, you know. I thought the Call of Duty games were famous for not being colorful. This is a colorful map versus my drab poker game.
Wow.
Yeah, and one of the other big features of that game when it was new was it had online capabilities, which not very many PS2 games did. So you set up online matches, and the game publishers themselves would set up tournaments that you'd have to register for. And would only allow like 100 or 200 people to play. And if you missed logging in to register or missed logging in to play the game once you've registered, then you know, then you're out. You can't play. So I remember liking the game a lot more than I do now. And then the other game I didn't play yet, but I fired it up just to see the attract mode, and I probably will play through it soon. There's Final Fantasy XII.
Okay.
That's probably the... I haven't finished very many Final Fantasy games.
Sounds like me, dude.
The list is 1, 4, 6, 12. All those in the middle, I don't think I ever finished. But I did like playing. I did enjoy 12. That was the summer of RPGs where I literally played through 300-hour RPGs.
Nice.
That was Final Fantasy XII, Dragon Quest VIII, Persona 4. So,
right on.
So I did. So I plan on hitting that again sometime soon.
Cool. Right on, dude. I this week have played. Well, I started playing Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3. And I won't talk much about it other than to say that I feel like this may be the best game on GBA. I feel like that. I'm just going to leave that as a teaser. I think that this game definitely surpasses the original. And again, we've been playing that for Retro Rewind. So we'll talk a lot more about that in a couple of weeks when we get together with Marty from Reactor Radio, and we're gonna talk the crap out of that game, whatever that means. And also, because of all this Pokemon business that's been going on, I actually went back to Pokemon Omega Ruby, which is the most recent game that was released in the series. It's a remake of the Game Boy Advance game, and I was 5 badges in when I put it down like a year ago, and I finally went back to it and played through till the end. I became the Pokemon champion, and I'm now doing what is called the Delta episode, I believe. Which is all about like Rayquaza, who is a mystic Pokemon, yada yada yada. And one thing that I'm just really impressed with this game that I wasn't really expecting is like the Pokemon games aren't really that. There's not a whole lot of story here, but especially in this Delta episode, they really step it up a notch and. It's kind of like an epilogue to the game, like an extra sort of DLC chapter that's kind of thrown in. I believe what you had to do is the Delta episode what you had to have, like you had to get something through Street Pass?
No idea. Okay. I've never played the game.
Okay. So basically it was, I'm pretty sure that was the case, but it was... I'm just going to see if that's actually the case. But anyway, essentially you go through it and then you end up fighting. I'm at the part right now where I have to battle Rayquaza and try to capture it, which is always a hassle to try and capture a legendary Pokemon. But I'm kind of surprised at how the story is. Like they're actually weaving some story into it. I'm not sure if I like it or not. Because it's very like the story will be like go to this place and then have a conversation and then go to this place and have a conversation and a battle and then go to this place and you're just flying everywhere, and but there will be cutscenes where there will be some conversation and the story will unfold a little bit more and you'll get to know this person, and I really do enjoy that. I just feel like I don't know. I feel like As the Pokemon franchise has aged, they have gone more and more down this sort of cutesy route. And yet when they try, like, it seems like when they're writing the story, they forget that it's kind of in this cutesy sort of anime style. And maybe this is just me, but I feel like I want it to be more hardcore than it is. Like the art style almost betrays what's lying underneath. You know what I mean? Like I felt like this ever since even like Gen 3 when it first started. But once they left the Game Boy era, But I don't know. That's just me. Like, it always seemed like it was more hardcore in my mind. And to see this in 3D, it is, don't get me wrong, like, it's still a great game. I am glad that I went through and beat it. There is a tournament that I believe is next weekend. It's called the Kanto Classic, like an online sort of battle competition where you can only use the original 151 Pokemon in this tournament online. And like through the game, it's all, you know, set up through the website and the game and everything. And if you compete at least in three matches, then you get like this Dragonite that was identical, that's identical to the one that is in the original game that you fight in the Elite Four or something. So
did Canada have a chance to get the Mew?
Yeah, I got the Mew. Yeah, the interesting thing with Mew was that, like, I got the Mew and I didn't realize that it was like a Gen 1 Mew. So in other words, it only knows Pound. It's a level 100 and it knows Pound. So I thought that was kind of funny. But other than that, yeah, no, when I went in, I got one. I
wasn't aware Mew had it was more than a Gen 1 Mew.
Right. Well, yeah, but I mean, like, if you would have gotten it in Gen 1, it would have only known Pound. And I was under the impression for some reason that it would know, like, actual, like, it would have a moveset.
You'll have to teach it a moveset.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, but sometimes they'll give you cool, like, rare moves or moves that it can't normally learn, you know, stuff like that. So, I don't know. It's interesting, though. I did get one, and I got one for my son because my son, the 3DS that he got, or the 2DS that he got for Christmas, came with Pokemon X pre-installed. So it's interesting. He's got, like, one or two badges, and we'll kind of slowly work through the game together. And he, he's got a fire type. He chose Charmander in X and Y, right? You get the new starters and then you can get the Gen 1 starter as well. He chose Charmander for the Gen 1 starter. And I went to go play, I was playing his game. And what happens when you don't know how to read and you're playing Pokemon is you accidentally delete all of your fire Pokemon's fire type moves.
Ow!
So he knows, like, Scratch and Growl and Smokescreen and, like, Slam or something, right?
I'm just, wow, like, ouch.
I'm like, dude, no. Like, what have you done? So I might, like, trade his guy over to my game and teach him something and then trade it back or something. I don't know. But, yeah, it's fun. And he does like playing around. His guys are so overpowered because he went, like, two levels, like, two full cities, like, has two badges. And then I went to go play the game with him, and he was at the start of the game again. Like, he'd walked all the way back to the start of the game and was just hanging out there fighting level two guys. He's like, Dad, my guys are so strong. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you've been just grinding. Like, all he's done in that game is grind. So anyway, it's really fun. Yeah. It's been a lot
of fun.
Kids
that age have the patience to do that.
That's just, to him, that's what the game is, right? Like, he's just having fun. He doesn't know what the difference is. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, that's what I've been playing. And this time tomorrow, I'll be playing Fire Emblem Fates. So that's awesome. I'm really excited. Yeah. So, should we get into some Postman?
Do it.
Just because it's too late for pre-man.
Yeah. Boo.
That's right.
I don't know why it took me 65 episodes to think of that joke.
Oh, hashtag dad jokes. That's terrible. Justin, I'm going to miss your do it thing. I need a bumper for that.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, again, for people who don't know, did the shop exist before, like, last episode? Did that exist? Was that a thing?
I think you guys were supposed to announce a shop.
Did we talk about that? Anyways, we have a shop now, people.
Yes,
oh, yeah, we did because we had a link. That's right. So if you go to tiny.cc. That's what it is. tiny.cc/Nintendo Dads Shop or Nintendo Dads Store. Either one works. Then that will take you to our Redbubble page, and you can buy Nintendo Dads stuff. In fact, there was some awesome art, which we'll talk about again at the end of the show. You can buy stuff of that too now. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So
are you gonna have to place a second order now?
Yeah, probably. I've ordered a shirt and a book from of our cover art. That should be here hopefully this week. But yeah, that is available on our store now. So that's pretty cool. So you can represent if you want to. wow, really, really pulled back on that. Yeah, so Justin, what do we have as far as emails and such this week?
Sure, for emails, we have one, and it's from a good friend of the show, Holden Moffat, and I'll read that off to us. Hello, it's Holden again. I beat Metroid Zero Mission last week, and thus have concluded my initial experience with the Metroid franchise, NES and Game Boy outings not included. My question or questions this week is, what is your favorite Metroid, and what, whether it be to you personally or as a general whole, is the elements that define Metroid? My favorite Metroid personally is a three-way tie between Prime, Super Metroid, and Prime 3. Thanks to the podcast, love and heart, Holden. He didn't say the love and heart thing. I did just for us to make us feel better.
I do feel better, though. It worked.
But I think he seems like a guy who'd probably write that to for us to make us feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's pretty nice that
way.
He's
a class act. So first off, let's go with the first question first. What is our favorite Metroid game? Jesse, what about you? What is your favorite Metroid game?
If I were to pick a single game, I would have to say Zero Mission.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that too.
That one is just, of all the other previous versions up to that point, it just seems to be the cleanest one.
It's so snappy, right? Like, I was playing it again today, actually, just right before the show, and it's so fast. Especially, like, I just got the wave beam, and, like, I've got the speed jump now, I've got the high jump, or the speed run, or whatever. Like, it's crazy how fast that game is now. It's super fun. Yeah, I kind of almost treat the Prime series as a separate entity, at which point I would say that Metroid Prime 3 I like the best, just because it seems like the gameplay kind of flows better. Although Metroid Prime 1 is also pretty good too, but for different reasons. Metroid Prime 3, the game became a little bit more first-person shootery, and the original Metroid Prime was a little bit more first-person exploration. But anyway, Justin, what about you? What are your experiences so far?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, the one that probably reigns, it's tough actually, but I think the one that probably reigns the true for me that I kind of have probably the most fun with was Super Metroid, like for on the SNES. Just the colors, the atmosphere that's created with that game. Like I just remember like the opening scene and like the rain, right? And that kind of like it's just very iconic. And it's a great challenging game. I think it's a great game that showed the expanse of how it moved from the original NES to the Super Nintendo, and just kind of the graphical changes in the game and just the kind of the controls changing, but also kind of staying true to what was Metroid that time, right? And I think it's very iconic in that as well. So for me, I really, really enjoy Super Metroid. I, unlike some, I'm not a hater of Other M. I don't think it was a horrible game. Mm-hmm. I think it had some flaws, but I thought it was a good Metroid game. And I played, what was the one? Corruption? Corruption was for the Wii, right?
Yeah, that was Metroid
Prime 3. Yeah, that's Prime 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I played Prime 3, and I really liked Prime 3. Like, I remember that one I played on the Wii U, like, extensively. But I think I like that one kind of for a different reason than why I like Super Metroid. I think such Super Metroid, there's this kind of just this childhood connection, nostalgia to it. Mm-hmm. Whereas opposed to Corruption, I thought was just a really cool game, and I thought it was kind of a really good example of why, you know, we could do, you know, this could be better than Halo, essentially.
Yeah.
If we pushed it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as the second question, what element defines Metroid? To me, I feel like Metroid is what sets Metroid apart from other games, I think, more than anything. And this is I think what why Metroid Prime worked so well. was as a, like a 3D translation of the Metroid series, was that it is very much at the core Samus on this alien world all by herself, exploring it, you know, figuring out where you're supposed to be going. Not a ton of backstory. It's just you in this alien world. There's a feeling of isolation there. And that isolation, to me, is what Metroid is all about. You know, there's this that exploration and event, and she is there to kick some A, and that's what she's there for, and she's going to do it all by herself. That to me is what it's all about. More than the space stuff as well. I think if there is one flaw to Metroid Prime 3, it is the fact that she suddenly has a bunch of friends and things like that. Like it's a lot harder, and I think that's a big complaint that has been lobbied against both Metroid Other M and this new Federation Force that makes it not really a Metroid game like we want either, is because that feeling of isolation is gone in those games. You know, there's always somebody talking to you in the back of your head or whatever, and it's just not, that's not what Metroid is, right? Metroid is about that isolation to me.
Yeah, and I think like Other M very much took, you know, made Samus very kind of whiny, right? And there was too much of that chat.
And I don't even necessarily have a problem with the whininess. Maybe a better direction or a better word for it is like angsty almost, or like there's some worry, there's some stress there. And I think if played right, there is a little bit of, I think it's natural to have that sort of anxiety sort of inducing, you know, because of the isolation, but have it because of that, not because, you know, she's worried about this other dude or whatever, right? Like she's like, make it about that isolation. I think that's where Samus's core strength is as a character and as a franchise. That's what it's all about. So yeah, I don't know. That's just,
it's kind of honorable mentions that I didn't get a chance to throw in.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's right. I did, like the Metroid Fusion. You
know, that is a good one too, yeah.
The game released before Zero Mission. And then I liked, Other M, though not a fan of the story and the chatty and not a fan of the pixel hunts. But other than that, I liked the gameplay. Mm-hmm. And those two games are, you know, Fusion and Other M are actually very similar. It's dealing with the real Adam versus an Adam-like AI person talking to your head.
Right, yeah.
But either way, both of them are kind of are still very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not, I don't know. I wish that I could get into that Other M. Maybe I would have to restart it at this point if I were to play it, but
the game itself isn't all that long, though it is long. It is longer than most Metroid games, but yet not as long as Prime. Primes are like 30-hour games. Mm-hmm. I think Other M is more like a 10 to 12-hour game.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I played through it, I got through like halfway through. Actually, I don't even think it's that long. More like maybe 8 hours. Mm-hmm. I got about halfway through, got to a stuck point, and then when the next day I played it again, got through that stuck point, and literally marathoned the back half of the game in one sitting.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's I don't ain't nobody got time for that. I got Fire Emblem coming up. Sounds good though. Justin, what about you? Anything specific about Metroid that is defines it?
You know, I think you kind of mentioned it the best there, Zach, with that isolation, right? I think the feeling that you always kind of get when playing a Metroid game is that kind of by yourself, and you know, whether it's you know, the isolation of being on a foreign planet, or an isolation of not having any support from anywhere else, or, you know, there's no kind of saving hand. I think that those are elements to it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think one of the things that always very much makes a Metroid level or a Metroid game is you're going through a map and you get stuck somewhere. And you need the MacGuffin, right? Mm-hmm. What is that one thing? And you have to backtrack through the level, and you find that power up later, and that's the thing, right? So I think it's It's kind of
something silly, like when I got stuck the first time in Zero Mission in my latest playthrough, what the part that I missed was what I thought was the acid water that I was avoiding was actually false water, and I needed to go down through it to reveal the path that I needed to go to.
Yeah, I usually
blame my mastery of platformers.
Yeah, I usually kind of just find it's just like really intelligent level design that makes you, you know, get far enough that you realize you need something. But when you finally get it, you kind of, you know, it unlocks that kind of, you know, recall in your brain of like, oh, I remember I was there and I couldn't get past it because I couldn't jump high enough. And now I should be able to do that.
Right. I'm at a place right now. I'm trying to remember it. Like the first, I think the area is Ridley. The first time that I can go down there, but I feel like I probably shouldn't be there yet. And it's not telling me where to go. So I may need to.
I think you do peek down there for a little bit and then you backtrack really quick.
Well, yeah.
There is something in there you need to grab to advance.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure that out.
You're not there for long.
Yeah. So yeah, that's thanks Holden for your email. Of course, if you guys want to email us, you can email us nintendodads@gmail.com. Or send it to all of our business, all the stuff going on, which we'll talk about at the end of the show. So, Justin, what have we got going on here? Justin, you're leaving us.
I am.
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Yeah, so this is my last episode for 4 weeks. I will be back with you guys on March 23rd will be the next time.
Are you going to send us episode 70. MP3s? Are you going to? If you can figure out how to do it, then...
Am I going
to
send you what?
Like an MP3 of what you're playing or...
I may be able to, yeah.
Send me voice memos or whatever.
Just a little, like, you know, I miss you guys. I'm playing this game.
What I really want to hear is this artificial accent that you'll be picking up from hanging around all these people with accents.
That's fair, yeah.
He'll throw a shrimp on that Barbie.
That'll be fun.
Shrimp on the Barbie. You know I'm going to Australia. Or I'm not going to Australia, right? I'm going to Ireland.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah, it's all one continent, right? So, yeah, I'll probably try and send some audio files. And if people kind of want to, I'm not going to flood our Nintendo Dad's account with pictures of my trip. But if people want to, you can follow me on Twitter at Massin23. And I'll be posting photos from and probably videos from there. If I find stuff in Ireland and in London that is kind of Nintendo centric, I will probably take some photos and post those out as well. I'll probably
throw a bone to the line chat.
Yeah, exactly. If I can throw a couple things in the line chat and try and manage a little bit of our social media as well. But I'll ask for you guys to keep an eye on that. But you know, I'm not really worried. You know, I'm actually more worried about how you two are going to do without me. based on how last episode was that gong
Come
show
on,
you
it
called
worked.
An episode.
Yeah, it worked.
It was great. It was fantastic.
You may come back to a totally different show. Is the problem.
It may, exactly, right? Come back and it's like the Sony podcast. Yeah. Like, what happened?
Welcome to XMB podcast episode one.
Yeah. But I would say is that we do got, you know, I can't leave you two yahoos in the lurch. So we've got some amazing guests coming in. Next week, Cass Lush is joining from the gaming docs. So he's a really good friend of the show. We love the work that he's doing. So excited to have him on. Then on March 2nd, Marty from Reactor Radio is going to be joining us as well. He's a familiar voice in this podcast, and he does a great bang-up job as well. He's also going to be helping you, Yahoos, with the Retro Rewind. He's been playing some Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3. So that episode's going to be coming out on March 6th, presuming everything goes together right. Then Dave Moore, who we haven't had Dave on for a little while, but he's going to be joining us from the Character Crunch, and he's going to jump in and help you guys out, which is fantastic. We love Dave. Who knows? It may even go become a bit more of a After Dark episode and talk about who knows. Well, I was going to say Daredevil won't be quite out yet, but we'll be talking about a lot of other stuff.
Daredevil comes out the week after that.
Oh my gosh, did you guys watch that trailer, by the way?
It was fantastic.
I did.
Oh, so good.
So good. So good. And then speaking of so good and worlds colliding, March 16th, both Josh Thomas and Rogers Bass will be joining us on the show here. And I just want to sit back and watch you two handle those two, because I think that will be just tremendous.
I will likely to be as derailed as.
Yeah, I think it's going to be probably one of the most off the.
It's going to be awesome. It's actually really excited.
It's going to be an amazing show. I'm actually pretty jealous. I'm not going to be here because I think it'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then I will be back on the 23rd. So that's kind of where we're sitting, guys.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, and you guys. Retro Rewind couple of weeks here. You know what I'm thinking of doing too? Because we had this thing and I had this idea because I've been posting some videos and stuff online, or I posted a video on my personal YouTube channel of me like doing like a speed draw or whatever, like a time lapse. And we were kind of unsure of what we were doing for cover art. And what I might start doing is actually hand drawing some like sort of spoof art, or not spoof art, but some sort of art based on the theme of that game, like of that month's game.
Oh, that's nice.
And then we can use that for the cover art, and maybe we could just send the original to somebody, like a patron.
That's a great idea.
Wouldn't that be great?
I love that idea.
So I think that's what we'll do. So that gives me a couple of weeks to draw something cool for Retro Rewind, probably some sort of take on the Mario Brothers art or something, the Super Mario 3 art, and then we'll draw a lucky patron and we'll send them the original drawing, which should be pretty fun. So, and I'll post the video, like we'll scan it and use it for the cover art or whatever, but then we'll use it for the, we'll give that to a patron and it'll be fun. I think it'd be a cool thing to do, so. So if you want to get in on that, then you can go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads and be entered for that draw. I think that'll work. That should be fun.
Absolutely. Love it. Very cool. That sounds like a fantastic idea.
Cool. As well, shout outs and things.
Shout outs. Yeah. Shout outs to the Nintendo Podcast System, NPS. They are a podcast that's also part of the VG Tribune Network, and Jesse and I guest hosted on their episode on Monday, actually. So it was really great. We got to they're from across the pond, actually. They're over in the UK area. So we got to spend some time with them, kind of chatting some Nintendo news. So that was really great. Look for their episode to come out. I don't think it's out on the feed quite yet, but we'll be coming up soon.
I haven't seen it launch. And we realized that one of their hosts is almost the same age as my daughter.
Yeah, that was an odd moment.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
of course, Zach O'Neill was the same age when he got his start.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we're going to put that out on our accounts once it comes available. So check that out. It's really cool. Really kind of a different, no, I shouldn't say different approach to Nintendo. But they had some interesting insights as well. So it was very cool. We're happy to be on their show. We're looking for a little bit of a crossover episode where Matt Gibson from their host is going to come over and join us for a bit of a time. So that's going to be good too. Another shout out is Adam Leonhart. Is that how we say that?
Leonhart?
Yeah. Adam from Nintendo Dads. Let's just say that. Adam from
Mega
Nintendo Dads who did our
Mega Dads.
Mega Dads.
We're Nintendo Dads, you fool.
Man, this cold is killing me.
Oh my gosh.
From Mega Dads, he did an amazing new Nintendo Dads commission, which is on our Facebook page, which is on our Twitter page, which I think is on our Instagram page. If it's not, yeah, I think I put it on there. And we'll also be in our Redbubble spot, and we're probably going to be replacing some of our social media logos with it. It's really amazing. Check out his work. You can go to redbubble.com/people/Adam Leohart and check out his stuff. You can buy. He's got amazing art to buy.
Did you notice something about that I noticed?
That there's three controllers on the NES?
Well, each of us is holding a controller, but only two of them are plugged into the NES.
Oh, really? Whose is not plugged in?
He didn't tell me.
And you know what? I would say
asked. He goes, two of you are having fun. The other one just thinks they are.
That's probably me.
That's just like this podcast. Two of us are having fun and one of us just thinks they are. And you got to figure out which one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, check out his stuff, though. He does have amazing work, artwork for purchase. He's a great guy, and we obviously had the Mega Dads on a couple of weeks ago, and the art he did for us is just amazing art.
It's
guys.
Great, like, dude. I love it. I'm using it as my avatar now. It's super cool.
I'm going to be ordering that photo and putting it up in my office here because it's freaking awesome. Cool. So, yeah, a couple other things we got going on as well. I'm going to keep going here. The Twitter poll, I mentioned that before. If you guys want to determine whether I'm going to be playing Fire Emblem or whether I'm going to be playing Mega Man, you need to go over to our Twitter and vote right now. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is a tight race. There's 25 votes, and Fire Emblem is merely winning at 52%. Mm. So it's a tight race for what people want to see right now, for whether it's me playing Mega Man Legacy or Fire Emblem Fates. That vote's going to close in 21 hours. So if you care, and you possibly might, which is also okay not to, go do your due diligence and vote. So that's fun. And we're doing that. And guys, the reason we're doing that is because you, the fans, we want to know what's important to you. If you don't want us to review Mega Man Legacy, but you'd rather hear a second opinion on Fire Emblem Fates, hey, let's hit that up. We'll do that, right? You guys make the show. You guys dictate what we do. We like to leave the control in your hands. So you have the power. Also, a couple other things. Wow. Today, just moments ago, we released our very first unboxing video from oneupbox.com. Go to our YouTube channel and check it out. We did an unboxing video from oneupbox.com. We have a partnership with them where they're going to be sending us a box every single month. We're going to open it up. It's got some really cool swag in it. This time there was a Deadpool vinyl cap. There was a t-shirt.
I haven't seen this video yet.
Yeah, I just went up, buddy. Just went up.
Dude, man.
That's how I don't just produce stuff, I make videos.
Dude,
too.
Dude, you were like you were full of surprises. You're surprising even me over here.
I know. Boom. And actually, I had my lovely daughters do the unboxing video with it today. So it was quite cute, actually. They had no clue what Deadpool was. They're like, what is this?
And they never will.
And they're like, this t-shirt doesn't fit us. I was like, no, it's a grown adult's t-shirt. Like, what are you doing here, child? So they were disappointed in that, but nonetheless, check it out. But if you are interested in joining 1UpBox, use the code NintendoDads, as the coupon code. They know that you heard from us and that's how it's connected. But then also using the code AWESOME will save you on your first, subscription for your first month. So you guys check it out. Tons of cool stuff. OneUpBox.com. So awesome stuff. Check out the video. I think you'll like it. What else going on? Zach mentioned our merch shop. We got stuff there. We got cool stuff.
There are more stuff there than last week. We now have like phone cases. And
yeah, dude. There's phone cases up there now. There are all sorts of stuff. So
I'm thinking about, for that Atom image, I'll probably get to turn that into an iPhone case.
I feel like, yeah, like for that one, I had to do the cropping weird to get it to fit on there. So we'll figure that out, but there's lots there. The travel mug, I think it looks great as a travel mug, or even just the regular mug, it looks pretty cool. Like there's like a headshot thing there. It's pretty cool. So
why do we have a merch shop? We have a merch shop because you asked for it, and not because we're like, hey, so this is a hint, go buy stuff. But
yeah,
you guys
really
asked for it, so we set it up there. So it's there. If there's something that you would like that we don't have there, someone mentioned to us a phone case, and we're like, okay, well, let's go get a phone case for you then. So yeah, let us know. But there's lots of cool stuff on there, and hopefully you guys enjoy it as well. And we've got some t-shirts coming to ourselves. I've got a coffee mug coming. You guys got some t-shirts. I've got stickers. So we're gonna be sporting some merch ourselves on the show as well. And
I ended up ordering 3 t-shirts, one for me and one for each of two kids.
That's rad, dude.
That's fantastic.
Cool.
The third one didn't want one yet, but she'll probably pick something later.
Yeah.
Darn right she will.
Sweet. All right, Justin. Well, hey, man. I hope you have a good trip over in Down Under.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. I will definitely enjoy myself, and I wish you guys good luck.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to need it. It will be fine. It's going to be a good time, and we look forward to hearing your nonsense voice clips as you send them. It should be fun. Of course, if you want to send us nonsense voice clips or interact with us in any way, you can. You can head over to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. You can email us, nintendodads@gmail.com. Hit us up on YouTube, youtube.com/c/NintendoDads. And if you add a slash live on Wednesday nights, then you can hit us up live. It's awesome. You should do it. Just like all the people in the chat room. You guys are beautiful. Head over, of course, if you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, that's at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Big thanks to OC Remix for our music, both at the beginning and end of the show, and of course to megacarter.tumblr.com. That's Carter Johnson for our amazing artwork. If you want to buy some sweet Nintendo Dads swag, go to tiny.cc/NintendoDadsStore, all lowercase. You'll find it there. Good stuff. And of course, if you want to change the world, which I know you do, head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And of course, if you want to subscribe, you can do that over at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, and for Jesse, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.